भारत सरकार के नियमों के अनुसार 700 से अधिक उत्पाद जैसे ज्वेलरी, टॉयज, हेलमेट, इलेक्ट्रॉनिक्स इत्यादि ऐसे हैं जिनके निर्माण, आयात या सेल के लिए BIS मानक चिन्ह आवश्यक है। एक जागरूक ग्राहक बनिए, किसी भी प्रोडक्ट को खरीदते वक्त उस पर BIS मानक चिन्ह जरूर देखें और उस प्रोडक्ट की प्रामाणिकता जांचने के लिए आज ही डाउनलोड करें BIS केयर ऐप।
What could you expect from a nasty mom, you might think? Mean comments, sarcastic humor, dark jokes perhaps? Well, no need to answer that because, I mean, really, I probably don't even care. Being a single mom in the city to a willful 7-year-old has given me the best perspective of life so far. Really, like, you're never able to eat candy alone, right? Your kid catches it, the slightest sound of the wrapper, and she's up and about. She knows I'm eating candy. To being told what kind of a mother goes on dates leaving the child at home. I mean, as long as you're working and sitting at home and looking after your child, all's well, right? But the minute you go on a date, you become a bad mother. I have a roster of such cliches that I deal with on a daily basis. Join me as I navigate life with a daughter, a hamster, a cat, and my stay-at-home help, Lipsy, without whom I would not be able to live my life. I promise you conversations that are absolute nuts, okay? But they'll be insightful, they'll be fun. Join me, Jasleen Kaur Gupta, only on One Nasty Mom. Who says I'm all that nasty, huh? Hi everyone, welcome to One Nasty Mom. I've been away for a bit, just been working on myself. I know who I sound like right now, but I think it's important for us for... you know, every now and then to take stock of where you are and what you're doing. And I've come back a lot more energetic and a lot more, I'm feeling better. And I hope I can share my experiences with you guys and make you feel good about yourselves, or just have a chat, give you some perspectives. I am working on getting some amazing women and men on the show to talk about a multitude of things with One Nasty Mom, but for a few more episodes it'll be just me till I get that going. This is episode 4 and I am talking about how I train myself to not give a fuck. And it took me a while, right? I'm 40 now. And I can honestly say it took me a while to get here. In fact, it took me all my life. I can safely say that it's been a couple of, maybe it's been 2 or 3 years since the training of being, of not caring about people has begun, right? So most people my generation will agree that they were raised and trained for altering everything about themselves, right? The appearance, their feelings, to suit other people with such military precision that fitting in was just second nature. At least it was like that in my household. The constant echo of "Jab saas ke ghar jayegi to" became a defining theme throughout my upbringing. You know, whether it was learning how to work in the kitchen, whether it was about not cleaning my room, whether it was about not waking up early, everything somehow tied back to "Jab sasural jayegi to kya hoga," you know. And funny thing is, now I'm divorced, so I think that training was a little bit of a waste now, wasn't it? Anyway, coming back to what I was saying, the whole fact that you have to fit in was so ingrained that it was normalized. It didn't seem like pressure at that time, to be honest. It was just the way things were done. Things like, my mom always used to say, it's a Punjabi kahawat. I'll translate it for those who don't understand Punjabi. Khao man paana, pao jag paana. It basically translates into eat as your heart desires. So basically, eat what you want, but dress up according to what the society demands, about what people like, or about whatever is fashionable, or you know, dress like that. And in itself, it may not be too much of an alarming concept when literally translated, but at the root of it is such a problematic thing, honestly, because if you take it to each faculty of your life, before you know it, you're living your life through someone else's controls. And as life continues, your control lies with multiple people: your parents, your husband, your in-laws, and in fact, nowadays, even your children. There was a time when you dictated what your child did and where your child went. And we were very okay with getting bored with our parents, going to sabzi mandis and shopping and whatnot. Today, the child dictates where they want to go. And the whole house is running around the child. Right? So your remote control is always in somebody else's hand. God forbid you ask for the remote to your own life. And in a micro instant, you are selfish, you're rude, you're too headstrong, you're too modern. You know, you're just not how people want you to be. However, let me not make this podcast about a rant, but let this be actually about the art of letting go, you know, and trying to get out of this people-pleasing cycle that we dedicate our lives to consciously, mostly subconsciously. And I've been on a bit of a spiritual journey myself, so I'm not saying that these pointers are the be-all, end-all, but they've definitely helped me. If I were to sum it up as to how I got to this stage, I think these four points that I'm about to mention really summed it up for me. And I've been a severe people pleaser all my life. So it's taken some doing to get to this point. It took me a lot. And that's why it's just, you know, I'm sharing that with you guys and hoping you enjoy that journey with me as well. So point number one, break free from the guilt. I personally love traveling and I've been lucky. I've been traveling a lot for work. I've seen a lot of India. I've seen a couple of countries abroad, but it's been a good year last year and I had the chance to travel so much, meet new people, have new experiences. And while I was gone, my child is now almost 10, but my ex-husband or parents or sister have had to chip into babysit, right? Well, this is tolerated for work, albeit with enough nudging on, tell your boss you can't do it, or things like find a new job. And I'm like, but why? I love what I'm doing. Isn't it amazing to be passionate about what you do? But no. And God forbid I want to take a vacation. Then hell hath less fury than unwilling babysitters. I kid you not. Hell hath less fury than unwilling babysitters. My daughter is well taken care of with a nanny who does everything. Lipsy, if you've heard my intro, you know about her. Yes, she's still there. And she literally does everything. But of course, there's somebody needed because I'm gone the night. So somebody is needed to supervise the whole thing. But while I used to be gone, you know, the entire conversation was always around, oh, your nanny's going to run away soon. And it's been 4 years, so I've been listening to it literally for like 2-3 years now. To how nothing in my house is organized because suddenly one day my mom wants Nachni Atta after seeing Baba Ramdev and she's like, there's no Nachni in your house, so obviously you're so badly organized. Or some real pressing problem about the fan speed or the AC remote not functioning too well. And that has to be raised in those 2 or 3 nights that I'm gone. And the problem never was or never will be discussed outside of that vacation, by the way. Now, earlier, these little things bothered me so much. I used to be so guilty. I wanted to be perfect. I wanted to stock the house. I wanted to be available. I wanted to call 4 times just to prove how good of a mother I was. But once I realized that I could do no right, there was literally nothing I could do that would ever be enough. And I handed the controls for this, for my child, to surprisingly an unwilling set of parents, unwilling set of family, I might say. And of course, they love my daughter to bits and they would do right by her and I knew that, right? So I was like, you know what? I realize this. I know she's in no real danger. And I didn't care about making an impression. I didn't care about being perfect to anybody anymore. I took a very selfish route to the whole thing and I said, you know what, I'm going to do better work, I'm going to concentrate more on making money, I'm going to concentrate on securing my child's future, I'm going to use this momentum that I have at work and I'm going to be selfish about that. So ditching that guilt in large parts is truly about forgiving yourself, accepting your limitations and allowing yourself to be happy. I know it sounds very simplistic, but it's not, because you have to accept the fact and look at it rationally that nobody in this world can give equal attention to everything. There will be times when family time will suffer. There will be times your health will suffer. There will be times work will suffer. When you're mentally somewhere else, you're in a holiday mood. So never will everything will be equal in your life. And it's okay. It's okay to prioritize in that moment, but be honest to your priorities then. While you're prioritizing something else, if at the back of your mind you're going to keep being guilty about another thing, you won't be able to do anything well. And and that's okay. And that is completely okay. Once I realized that, and I became shameless. I want to use that word because I don't have a better word. Because, you know, the minute you prioritize yourself, you're either shameless or selfish. And I was okay with being both those terms. I said, it may sound negative, but they are not negative to me. They don't have a negative connotation to me. And the minute I said that to myself, it didn't hold that power anymore. And I broke free from that guilt. And I've been happier for it. Point number two, work on your emotional and mental growth and stability. And I say stability very consciously here because growing, yes, is one thing. And it's always going to be a work in progress. But as you grow little by little, getting stabilized in that form is also equally important. So, a silly example, but the pot that holds the water is so strong and secure that it doesn't have to worry about cracking or breaking when the elements also hit it hard. So, I want to be like that pot where the water, it still holds water while there's rain, sunshine, and it doesn't just crack at the smallest of things. If the pot is weak, the slightest fall can damage it, emptying that water. And slowly I realized that I don't want to be an ordinary pot anymore. I want to be a hardcore, say a copper pot, which is sturdy. And at the same time, it's also enriching the water that is inside because, you know, properties of copper. And people will talk that those are like the elements, you know, it's almost like they're throwing stones at you. People will talk. And while it's so much easier, you'll find to shut out random strangers. Often the largest stones are thrown by well-wishers, by people who love you, by your family, by your friends. And they often mask it in things like, but we care, but it's because we wish well. And they don't always mean to hurt you. They genuinely don't. But the fact is that you took the remote away. So they feel like they have lost control, they are helpless, and they sometimes even feel that you might hurt yourself because you're maneuvering this by yourself. And while I completely appreciate the care and concern, I know it comes from a place of love. The expectations that come with it are unfair to me. Like, for instance, this is me personally, and this may not happen to anybody else, so I can only speak for myself. When a man travels, he's labeled for work. I mean, he's traveled ambitious or so hardworking. What a family man, working so hard for the family. Yeah, he provides for the family so y'all can go on vacations. But when a single mother like myself hustles, she's selfish, she's irresponsible, she's a bad mother, she doesn't care about raising her child right. And I've heard all these things. None of these, I promise you, are made up. A man is allowed and encouraged, in fact, to unwind because he works so hard. Arre isko chai pila do, arre iske pair daba do, arre isko sone do, arre let him go out, have a good time with the boys. But a single mother is punished and judged for wanting some downtime because, hello, weren't you in office the entire week? Shouldn't you spend your weekend with the child? And I'm like, isn't that unfair? Where is my time? If I was traveling for work, I was up on my feet for 14 hours or 16 hours shooting. Does that mean now I'm not entitled to a vacation because I was away from homework and because you didn't see me on a laptop, on a desk? Does that mean I was working any less? Anyway, I personally tell my daughter Karam when I'm going out with friends, I don't mask it with work. I tell her the truth. And I always tell her that just like you are meeting your friends, you like hanging out with them, you're doing play dates, I need to get out and have play dates with my friends too. We have our small rituals, we have our WhatsApp exchanges, we have nighttime stories that may be smaller amounts, I know, but they are more present and honest than a lot of other relationships I see firsthand. They may be smaller exchanges time-wise, but they're quality exchanges. I know my child can trust me, can count on me. She knows whether I'm in a meeting, whether I'm in a shoot. I will always answer her call. My phone will go on D&D, but it has that thing that allows her call and the nanny's call to come. She knows that. She knows I've got her back. So the point is that till you know, till you do right by yourself and you know what you are doing, make yourself bulletproof that when they raise fingers at you, you either find the peace and courage to just walk away, right? And you're like, this is not worth my fight today. Or you find a quiet confidence that shows them the mirror, whether you want to do it with words, whether you want to do it with actions. Sometimes people have to be put in their place. I am horrible with confrontation, right? I will avoid it till the last second possible. My style of confrontation or dealing with things is oftentimes walking away from the situation. I find that the best, and I'm like, let them fight their own battles, let them fight their own peace. I'm going to find mine. But sometimes it gets absolutely necessary to show people the mirror, show people what they're doing, or show people their boundaries, and it's okay. If I am faced with those times, I do that too. And that works for me as well. Point number 3 is make tough choices and stick by them. You know, the first thing about getting divorced for me was not the bigger questions, but it suddenly was like reality hit me in the face, because it was the more mundane everyday. Like, where is the toolbox? Who do I call to fix the microwave? Who needs to be called when the AC needs fixing? And how do I know I'm not being fleeced? What's the price of refilling gas in your air conditioner? And of course, the bills. I had never paid bills. I had done groceries and bought things for my child. And of course, spent on the house, like bed sheets and decorations and cushions. But I never month on month paid bills. A two-income household absorbs a lot of these shocks. And that being a single mum and provider, I was completely not prepared for, because I'd never adulted in that sense in my life. There are also other interesting things that happen to you when you're divorced. Suddenly, everybody gets a say in your life, because now it's almost like husband has gone from the picture. Now we must support her in a way that we all must kill her with our well-meaning advice, right? So relatives, close family, neighbors, everyone will offer you a genuine priceless piece of advice. Things like, ab beti ka zyada dhyan rakhna padega, you know, kyunki kuch ooch neech ho gayi to. I was like, yaar, thanks yaar, matlab maine to socha abhi to khud ba khud badi ho jayegi and I don't have to watch her anymore. Somebody actually told me, yaar, you have to lose weight if you have to attract another man in your life, because ek to divorce, then you have a bachcha, ab to milna waisi mushkil hai. And that time I was 36, but they were like, you're already past your expiry date, to be honest. So I wondered to myself, what is the recommended weight limit to find a guy though? Age limit to samajh aa gayi, but weight limit kya hai? Then people were like, zyada party shaati nahi karna. Log sochenge divorce ke baad ladki bilkul khul gayi hai. Kyunki it is just more acceptable to be shouted at and kept in line by your husband. But God forbid you have a good time. How dare you? It all boils down to that. The minute the society sees a woman having a good time, inko pata nahi andar se kya hone lagta hai ki they're like, this must be stopped. You either work, you take care of the child, you take care of the house, you take care of relatives, you take care of parents, but tumne maza kaise kar liya? Ye to tumko allowed tha hi nahi. This was never in the manual. So therefore, coming back to point 3 of tough choices, why I said all this is, weed out the people who no longer serve you. This is one of the tough choices you'll have to make. When my mom said, Auntie XYZ said this about you, I calmly looked at her and asked, did she pay my last month's electricity bill? Or is she going to pay my this month's car EMI? I didn't think so. So guess who has zero fucks to give about Auntie XYZ? Me. I am never speaking to her. I am never talking to her. She's of no consequence in my life. Remove yourself from situations that no longer serve you. And this doesn't have to be just relatives. That is a more gisapita traditional way. But even friends. Sometimes people your own age. Sometimes even your co-workers. People you've known for years. You feel like after spending time with them, they drain your energy. Or they're being toxic. Or they're just not aligned to how you think now. Just because you were best friends in school or in college and you got along doesn't mean you're the same people right now. And it's okay. It's okay to sometimes break up with friends as well. Take a step back and assess that. And if hanging out with a certain person or a group doesn't bring you peace or joy or enrich or add value to your life, even if it's fun. Some groups you just hang out with some people because they're pure fun, but it has to add something to your life. Remove yourself from that situation and don't look back and don't be guilty, you know, because by doing this, what happens? You have freed up your own disk space. We all have, just like phones, we also have limited capacity, right? Abhi kitna bhi evolve ho jaye, tum, you go from 100 GB to 258 GB, you still have limited space and your dreams and ambitions are bigger. So you have freed up your disk space like that for newer people, for newer connections, for newer hobbies. Tough choices and discomfort always leads to amazing results, and I am truly witnessing this fact in my life. Comfortable choices will never give you different results. If you keep choosing what you've always chosen, you'll get the exact same results. And we just need to remember that. My last point, number 4, is hustle and be the best version of you. Why? Because you don't get to have a fuck you attitude until you are putting in the hard work. You can't be a rebel without a cause, honestly. You can't be saying all this and doing everything without working on yourself, actually. Then it doesn't make any sense, because this journey is lonely. You will have fewer friends, but those who are more loyal. You will have people who don't always like you because now you have set boundaries, but you will have real connections that will help you grow. You won't always have a Friday night plan because you will say no to random parties and stay in perhaps to read a book or to finish a workout, or in what I'm doing, finish recording that podcast I've been putting off. Today genuinely is a Friday night and I sat back and I said, no plans, nothing. I'm going to dedicate this time to talk to my audiences again, because last time when I did my 3 episodes, I did get a lot of love and I just felt like I was cheating myself and everybody out of, the opportunity to just connect. I'm not saying it's the most path-breaking thoughts that I have, but I think there's a lot to say that people do connect with. So I really wanted to come back with that and make those connections again. And yeah, so here I am. When people see you shining in every walk of life, they either tend to back off or they want to now be part of your new life. This new shine and this new razzle dazzle is exciting, but this time they will do it on your terms. Mark my words, they will do it on your terms, because now you have set those boundaries. Now you're not the person they can fuck with anymore, and they will realize that, and they will take that step back and they'll do it on your terms because they want to. They want to be with you. Now, all these 4 techniques, I swear, are tried and tested and original. I'm sure there may be little versions of these floating around, but this is genuinely my breakdown of what I have gone through. And they work. They have worked for me. And it's a journey. There will be some days you will fall off the wagon. You just dust yourself up and get back in. And don't forget to show them the finger when you're riding the wagon again. That's what I do. Until next time, can't wait to bring y'all more amazing episodes. And like I promised at the beginning of the podcast, I'll soon be bringing in some interesting guests and people and friends and whoever I think can align with whatever it is that I want to discuss. And hopefully we'll have more amazing conversations. And if you do want to write to me and connect with me, reach me on my Instagram at Jasleen Kaur Gupta. And I would love to connect with everybody who's listening. Thank you. Bye.